I don't have an outline. I've got different verses in my heart. Actually, I got different subjects in my heart. I'm like, Lord, what do you want? And the thing that keeps being on me is, I'm not even sure how to title it. The way that I've been thinking it for the last few months, it comes to my mind to put together a study. I just haven't done it thus far. Is what are the requirements to be in God's leadership? What do you think would be the requirements to be in God's leadership? I'm sorry? Very good. The other day, Miss Judy, Sister Judy, said that when we were talking or praying, and it jumped at me. Somebody has to be committed. Where's that in the Bible? To be committed. To be committed. Where's that? What else? Well, we're going to throw ideas out like this, and then we'll look up verses as we'll do it together. How about that? We'll do a study together. Just right from Jump Street. How about that? Not where I have something already put together, but how about that? Seriously, though. What is required to be in God's leadership? What does God require? Okay, commitment, relationship. What were you going to say? Somebody take these and write these words down, would you please, and then we'll go back and put verses to them. Colossians 3, the whole chapter. Where do we start? 1 through 4? Okay. We'll look at that in a little bit. Okay. So what else? What's required? What does God require to be in leadership? Yes. Surrendered will. I got a verse for that. Luke 22:42. Not my will, but thine. Okay. What else? What? Lay down your life. Okay. Having to have a desire. So how about that would be a verse for that would be 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7 or 8. Let's say 8. Can't remember. Maybe it's 7. If any man desire the office of a bishop or an overseer, he desireth a good work. Okay. Good. What else? Yes. Huh? Compassion. Okay. What does God require? But who? So we're asking, what does God require for leadership? To be in leadership? And leadership doesn't necessarily mean being on the leadership team. It could be leadership in ministering to other people. Because you're leading them. It could be being in a Sunday school. It could be any type of ministry, for example, in a church, is leadership. because you're ministering to somebody. Anytime you're ministering to somebody, you're picking them up in a car. You're leading them. They're going where you're going. You know? Anytime you're talking to them about God, you're leading them. You're leading their thoughts. What does God, and what kind of leadership would we want? Would we want harsh, mean, demanding, dictatorial, opinionated, not teachable? Yes. Letting God's love flow through you. Yes, sir. Unconditional love of God and to be like conformed to His image. Awesome. Yes. Obedience and sacrifice. Sorry? Listen. He that hath ears to hear. How about teachable? How about attentive? Attentive would be listening. Maturity. Right. Right. So, I wonder if we just looked at 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and see what the 16 qualifications of a bishop are. Yeah, but, okay. But how about team player, unity? Awesome. What is required to be in leadership? Mercy? Mercy? She said compassion earlier. You're right. Yep. How about long-suffering? Cool. Patient. Yep. Long-suffering. How about yes, sir? Okay, I'm looking at that people have said to us when they've come here, a number of people, that they want to be part of the leadership. And I say, I'll be glad to, I say, I'm really glad. Let's pray about that and let's look into that. And what does it mean? Because one thing God says to us is lay hands suddenly on no man. Don't just lay hands on people to commit them and to bless them into doing that, because maybe they're not ready. Maybe it's more than they can handle. Maybe they're not matured or processed, haven't gone through process to get there, and it would only hurt them or they would hurt others. Not everyone that's in ministry is placed of God. The way I heard my first pastor say it, some preachers are mama called and some of them are papa sent. And then some of them God places. Mama called. I want my son to be a preacher, be a pastor. Papa sent, you go do this. I'm a preacher, you be a preacher. Maybe. You know, PK is preacher kids. Well, my dad did this. It's always been expected of me.
Yeah.
Requirements. Yes. Humility. When I had talked or heard other ministers talk about this in the past, when they use the context of 1 Timothy 3, and I think there's 16 qualifications of a bishop or an overseer there, they would get to one blameless. And therefore, the preachers or whoever were talking would set up this standard of perfection. And if you ever had anything in your past, you couldn't be called or whatever. You know, see what I'm saying? They have a different standard to guide us. They have a different standard of what I believe God means by that word. But these may be words that we want to look up, but did anybody ever say honest? Huh. How about anybody say anything about integrity? Integrity is different than honesty. Integrity is doing, having the character in you to do what's right when no one sees, when no one would know except God. Integrity, the stick-to-ing, the moral character. What I'm saying is people, yes. 1 Timothy. Okay. I probably shouldn't have given you any verses. That just gives y'all ammo. Yes. Did we have that earlier when we talked about submitting or?
Well, willing to go to the other one.
Right.
Does anybody know what Proverbs 2:1 says? Somebody want to read that, Proverbs 2:1?
Receive my words and hide my commandments with thee.
Go ahead. Just read verse 1.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee.
Is there anything you see there? Receive instruction. Thank you. That was the number one thing on my list, teachable.
I was just going to say that before I have to hear.
What else does that verse say? What's the next thing? How about know the word? How about hide it in your heart? How about that becomes your heart? How are you going to be a leader of bringing people to God if you're not bringing them through the Word? Because otherwise you're just leading them to follow you and they become like a Glennite or a Rickite or an Edonian or a Leidican or a nation. So let's look at these words that we wrote down, and let's condense them. Could we condense them? Because here's the thought that's come to me a number of times through the years that we've done this church. Okay. Let me just say a few things here. When God called me to preach, I told him, May of 1977, I said, "You can't mean me. I was a drug dealer." And he said, "Harvey, you're not only going to preach. Now understand, I'm a newborn. I'm just in church like a month, whatever." And he said, "Harvey, you're not only going to preach." And I come in there, this long-haired, you know, trucking, you know, dude, all the time. I remember Sue that night. She goes, because I was always combing my hair, brushing my hair. And she says, "Harvey, only one of us can have long hair. She says, you choose." So God calls me to preach. He says, "You're not only going to preach, you're going to preach to and train ministers." And then he told me that was 77. And then in my youth and zeal and flesh, for a number of years, I tried to go around straightening preachers out, thinking I'm supposed to train them. Here I am, this novice, this new guy. But bless God, I'm going to straighten you out because God said I'm supposed to train ministers. You can imagine how that went over. And with my personality, it really didn't work. There was a lot of flesh.
Lots of flesh.
Anyway, 93, he said to me, "You're going to start Evangelistic Training Center." I'm like, "What is that?" If you're talking about Bible college, I don't believe in it anymore, as a rule. Not just for myself, but for what I've seen, the results of it in many. As we've got all over the country, in the different churches. And he basically taught me discipleship, one-on-one hands-on training. And then in 95, 97, he confirmed that, somewhere in that, about the Evangelistic Training Center. Somebody goes to pray over and says, "Does Evangelistic Training Center mean anything to you?" And I'm like, "Dude, you know, like, I think you heard from God." Exact words God said to me. And then when we started this church in, was it 07 or 05, whatever it was, 05, he said to me, "Now you're going to start evangelistic training." He said, "Now you're going to start the training center." And I said, "But God, I don't have any notes. I don't have it organized." And he said, "Good." He said, "Maybe you'll let me run it instead of trying to get me to bless what you're doing." So we tell people all the time, it's a training center. We're here to train people. And yet we don't do things the way, you know, we don't have like all these classes and stuff. But is anybody getting trained? I mean, is anybody learning anything? Is something happening? Because I know it is. But it's not us. It's not like somebody's going to look back and put this big name of Harvey and Sue Hampton, you know? And like we're like some mighty men of God or woman of God. But it's like God's doing something and working in us. It's like the Holy Spirit. It's almost like 1 John 2:27 where he says, "You need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing, that you've received, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you. In John 16:13, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He's doing the work. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. We become a disciple of Christ instead of a follower of man. It would be easier just to follow a man. It would be easier just to... It's easier to do religion because it's like all you got to do is do this and then you feel real good about it. And you walk around, I feel real good about it. It's easier to just follow a formula than having to have relationship. The world is hurting in relationships because they're hard to do. They require a lot. But when people through the years have asked us, I want to be part of the leadership team. What do I got to do? I want to be a leader here. I want to be ordained. I want to be whatever they say. Do you understand that everybody doesn't come and say that to us? So we get excited over that. But before they even, yes. Right. Well, and see, that's what I started to say. You might want to write this down. Promotion comes from God. I remember we went and started our first church. We're starting our second church in the process. And my pastor said to me, Harvey, he said, in order for you to be full-time doing what you seem to be called to and what God's seeming to be flowing through you, which is evangelism, church planting, soul winning, he says, what we need to do is get you known. So he said, what we need to do is we need to do some mail outs and contact all these pastors and let them know what you're doing. And basically, we need to promote you. Now, I loved my pastor, and I appreciated him very much. And I knew he believed in us, and I knew he believed in us when others didn't. And I really appreciated that. But I told him, Pastor, I tried to take in what he was saying, but it just did not sit right inside of me. And I said, Pastor, that feels like self-promotion. And I don't see that as God. And he said, but how else is it going to happen? And I said, I don't know. But yes, I would like to do this full time and blah, 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 but you know what? God has to open those doors. I don't feel like I'm supposed to do that. But as your pastor, I want you to do this. So I tried doing what he told me to do, and it opened some doors, and I preached around and whatever. But I told God, I don't feel right about this. I'm doing it out of obedience. Even though I don't feel like it's God telling me to do it or bearing witness to it, I am obeying my authority and I'm doing what He's telling me to do. But Psalm 75:6-7, you want to put promotion? Remember promotion? Just look at Psalm 75:6-7. But not right this minute, but look at it. Psalm 75:6-7, okay? I'm sorry? 5-7? 75:5-7? Okay. But I want to go back to what I was saying. When people ask us, I want to be part of the leadership team. I want to be ordained. I've been praying when they ask me that, because before they even ask me, as soon as I meet people, we've had people come here, and the very first time they come here, they want us to send them out and cover them and help them start a ministry. We don't know them. You remember the verse that says, know them that labor among you? If you look in the end of chapter, Acts chapter 11, around verse 26, but it's the end of the chapter, Barnabas went and got Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. He went and got Saul, and it says they associated themselves with the church at Antioch for a year and a half. Now, this is the end of Acts chapter 11. At the beginning of Acts chapter 13, it says the leaders were together and praying, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And then the leadership laid hands on them and sent them forth because the Holy Spirit said so. When people come to me or us and they say, I want to be on the leadership team here. I want to be positioned. I want to do this or that in some kind of leadership position. It's like God, it's like all this stuff, just he just shows me. And I'm going, I'm glad. Are you ready to go through the process? Because we all have pride. And we all think that I just want to give what I've already got. And that's fine. But maybe we need to start where God wants us to start. And something he taught me a long time ago is you'll never be a good leader if you don't learn to be a good follower. What does that mean? Obedience, submission, humility. All the things that y'all talked about. Committedness. Dying. We are always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. The only way for Jesus to be seen is for us to die. But that's not normally where people start. Because they're not thinking of dying, they're thinking of living. Hi, hi, hi. Hi, Papa. Hi, other Papa. I wonder, does anybody know that they are here? That's right. I love it. So people have asked me that, and I'm like, Lord, what if we had a list? What if we had an outline just to hand them and just say, these are things. Would these be things that you would want in a leader that you followed? Yeah. Then these are things that God wants to work in everyone he calls to leadership. These are things that God's going to want to work in you. Are you willing to these things? Not everyone, let's remember that passage where it says, not everyone that's called will be chosen. And the reason is because it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because he calls us. They have a call. They have a desire. But maybe they're like the tortoise and the hare. They start good. They seem good. They look like they're going to run good. Have you ever met somebody who thought, man, if they got saved, they would bring a lot of people to Jesus. Have you ever met somebody like that? You thought, man, they would really. Down the road, 5 years, are they any closer than they were usually? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it requires humility. If you boil it down, there's two kingdoms, pride and humility. God can't flow through the kingdom of pride. This is a work of God. God is preparing us. God is working in those. He calls, I believe, everybody. It says many. Well, everybody's part of many. Everybody could fit into many. There's many everybody's. But few are chosen. So remember this. At least what he showed me in this. Few are willing to go through the process to get to that place where they can be chosen. They have their own will, their own ideas. I want, but I've done this before. I can do this. Another saying, any area that we're strong in, comma, God cannot be. Any area we're strong in, God can't be. He can't be strong in that area because we're strong in that area. I could do this for God. And God just sits back and says, I really appreciate that you could do that for me. I'm glad that's in your heart. But I have to back up and let you go try it. And when you're done and you find out, maybe you did it, but there's no life in it. There was a lot of energy, a lot of activity. A lot of time was spent. Because we have to come to the end of ourselves. This last week or two, I've been, just side note, but it fits, struggling because of words God said and what I remembered them to say and what I thought it meant. So somehow I took the burden on me that somehow I needed to start doing something or whatever. And an awareness that he's bringing me to is that he just told me what's coming. And I just need to be aware that's what's coming and cooperate with that, whatever he does, not me try to make it happen. Not me try to figure it out. Me trying to figure it out has only made me frustrated. Because I can't figure it out. Because I can't know what he hasn't told me. He could say, this is where I'm taking you. And I go, I'm supposed to say, okay, that's where he's taking me. So I need to be aware that as things begin to unfold, it's because that's where he's taking me. Instead of me saying, okay, how do I make that happen? What do I got to do? How do I figure this out? It comes down to Christ in you, the hope of glory. If there's going to be any glory, it's got to be Christ in us. We Romans 8:8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we're doing it, then God's not. And he'll wait. Remember? If we wait, he moves. If we move, he waits. So who's moving? I am not in any way trying to discourage anybody. I'm trying to encourage you that it's a process. God's working in us. God's doing something in us. We're a long-term project. God has a plan. Hand him that thing, would you? Yes, sir. Right there.
When I was out to work on Friday, so I talked to my boss. I talked more about God out there than I ever talked to any job in my life. As a fact, it's the first job I ever did that for. But me and my boss and her boss were sitting in her office talking. And, you know, I was telling her that I was looking for another job. I said, but you know what? I said, I did not choose this job. God chose this job for me. God sent me out here. You know, and I said, and I won't get another job until I fulfill the purpose that God has me here for. And I told her, have you walked around and you actually looked around your plant and actually looked at the people and see what God has doing inside of this building? You know, and she didn't know what to say. You know, until she knew what to say. Cause
of course.
When I used to go to work, I used to always try to figure out a plan, how to start my day, even though I've been at the job for a while. But I don't. I always go and ask God, where do he want me to start first? What do he want me to do first? It always worked out better that way.
Yes, sir.
So I just wanted to share that. Because I see God in where I'm at. I see what he's doing. And because I know I can't. You know, and it's also to see the faces of people when he talks to them. I don't talk to them because I can't talk to nobody. But it's just so awesome to see from where he sent me there to what I saw to what's happening now. Because I told my boss, have you opened your eyes and looked around and seen? And like I said, she didn't know what to say.
That is what you're talking about, brother. Is your ministry area. You're pastoring. You're ministering those people. You see because God's opened your eyes. She doesn't see because she's not looking through God's eyes. You're looking through God's eyes. God has given you a parish. He's given you a group that you're ministering to. And you pray for them and you love them and you see what God wants to do with them and you see where they're hurting and you see where they have needs and you speak into that, you pray for them and you wait on God. See, that is ministry training. And God is already preparing you for ministry because he's already ministering through you. That is exactly what I'm talking about, is God's doing it. Remember something. Something he brings to me often, and I don't know how to say this, but you become like who you associate with. And like I've said to him, but God, we're not having classes and we're not doing this or that. And he says, but Harvey, your job is to keep bringing things to their attention. Keep it in front of them of this higher place in me and relationship and all these basic things that you talk about. He says, because it keeps it in their focus. And so they're constantly looking toward Jesus to go forward. And like when Nate and Leida go to start a church in Aonia or Timbuktu, whatever it's called over there, they, he says, brother, it's so easy. He said, there's no burden. He's like, you know, when I thought when you told me we were going to start a church a few years back, he's like, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. He's like, but it's like, it's so easy. He said, because God does it. And I'm like, imagine. You think God might like that? That he gets to do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, with who he wants? And it focuses on one person? And it's like everybody gets involved? It's like, in the heart of God, what do you think he likes? That or our North American concept of church? So we have some words written down about what does God require to be a leader? What does God require to be in ministry? What does how did I word it in the beginning? What does God require to be on leadership? Is that how I said it? Whatever. What if you put some verses to that thing? What if you ask God, God, what do you think? God, what do you say? I heard about two men that were called to preach, two young men that were called to preach on the same night in a church. One was, I think, the football star or whatever, and homecoming king or whatever. And the other guy was a nobody. And the one came forward, he surrendered his life and said, I'm going to give God my life. And everybody's like, what God could do with him? And the other guy, and everybody was excited. And the guy who was a nobody came forward and they were like, what are you doing up here? And he's like, And he said, I'm giving my life to God. And they're like, what? You? Like, I don't think God needs you. That's how they treated him. Nobody got excited. But they were all rejoicing over the other guy. The other guy, you never hear about again. The nobody, when I met him and heard about him, he had the largest church in America, over 125,000 people. It was bringing multiplied souls to Jesus all the time and ministered into my life mightily. Matter of fact, a sermon of his that I was forced to listen to in Bible college one day instead of class, that day, because of that sermon, myself and then my wife met the person of the Holy Spirit that day because of that sermon. In, I believe it's 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God's after you. But I don't have anything to offer. But I'm not gifted. But I'm not that smart. But I'm not that good looking. But I don't have any money. And God's like, then maybe I can do something with you. Because the ones that have all that, they're so focused on that, they get in my way. Do you remember when Jesus came to the earth and what was it? Isaiah 53, it says, He hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire Him. He wasn't pretty. He wasn't all muscular. He wasn't attractive. But the whole world knows about Him. Do you hear? What's required? And this isn't to cut people out. This is to include people. What's required? But we want it God's way. We want what God wants. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Commit these words, these thoughts into your hands. And we just want to go with it where you want us to go. Thank you, Jesus.